Now more of the Wild About Pets radio show on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's Susan Frank.
Welcome back to the show and our discussion with our guest, Andrea McHugh, the author of Your Child's Dog, How to Help Your Kids Take Care of Their Pets. We are also taking calls right now at 888-463-6748. Again, that's 888-GO-FOR-IT if you'd like to join us and ask my guest any questions. You can see photos of the animals that we're speaking about, both from Andrea McHugh's book and also some other ones. And just click the Look While You Listen button if you are on the Talk Zone site. And we're going to kind of skip around sometimes through the pictures. I'll let you know what number we're at. And also, you'll see that the way I work this is you can follow along basically with what we're talking about and the photographs, but also there's some information on the photos for you to look at later. And for those of you who cannot click to see the photos now, remember this is the show and the photos are archived and you can look at them at any time. Okay, so Andrea, getting back to our questions, now let's say the family has their dog in the house now. As with everything, the novelty of owning a dog can wear off after a time. How can a parent help keep the children motivated to participate in looking after their pet?
Yes, that is one of the big ones, particularly on a cold, wet winter's morning when nobody wants to walk the dog particularly.
Right.
That can be a problem, but I think it is something that you have to kind of have discussed beforehand because, you know, it is going to arise. You know, there will be occasions, unless you're very, very lucky, there will be occasions when children will say, no, you know, I've got homework, I've got football practice, you know, I don't want to walk the dog. And you really do have to work to encourage children to help them care for their dog every day. And, you know, no matter what the weather or what activities they're doing, because it's very important to develop this sense of responsibility. If necessary, I would actually advise you to make an appointment with your vet or a member of the staff, the nursing staff, at the veterinary surgery, and take them, your children along, or your child along with the dog, and ask them to explain to the child, you know, the importance of doing things such as grooming, and they will explain in, you know, properly how failure to do this properly, such as grooming and exercise, will affect the dog's well-being. The dog still needs walking and looking after, you know, no matter what the weather is or what other activities are in the way. But I think also trying to make things fun. I think in my book I've tried to think of lots of activities that can be fun for the family, because playing with the dog as a family is very important, and walks can be fun. And you can start to do things like, you know, make up a little treasure hunt as well while you're out on your walks. And, you know, there are lots of things that you can do that can make a walk fun. And it's very important to keep the fun when you're owning a dog, because let's face it, that's why we have them. You know, we have them to make our lives, you know, more fun and to enjoy each other.
Yes, very good point. And I especially like having the children talk to a vet, because it's a different authority figure besides,
exactly,
you know, mom and dad.
Exactly. They will, children always, it's like at school, you know, they will always listen more to their teachers than they do to their parents. And it's, you know, it's just another voice, and they will realize that it's not just you that says this. And it is very, you know, important to make sure that this happens.
We have a caller on our phone lines right now. Ellen, welcome to the show today.
Well, thank you.
And go ahead with your question for Andrea.
Okay. Well, I wonder if you have any advice for me. To have children take care of dogs is difficult when they're very much scheduled outside of the house. How do you structure it when the children aren't home much to take care of the dog? I mean, a lot of times the parents end up doing it because the children are just not there.
Yes. Obviously, you know, the children do have some schedules and they can't be involved with everything. But I think when they are there, you know, that having your children sort of draw up some kind of rotor as to when, you know, where what is on their schedule and what they can be involved with could be helpful, so that they can, there is always something they can do. I mean, I don't know, are your children, are they away at school or are they around?
school, but, you know, their extracurricular activities and homework and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I still think it is important that at some stage in the day, whether it's before school or after school, that they're involved with the dog, caring for the dog, not just playing with the dog, but caring with the dog on at some level. So whether that's just, you know, participating in the mornings with getting the food out to feed him, checking the water bowls and making sure that they're full. There are little jobs that they can do which actually don't take a lot of time that are very important that will help to develop that sense of responsibility and also to help to improve the bond between the child and the dog. And then when, you know, they'll be able to have much more fun with it, the dog will respond much better to them when they're training and trying to do different activities. So I think it's just important, really, to prioritise the dog as a living creature, to be actually a little bit more important than they have to make that time for them.
Mm. You're right, that makes sense. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you, Ellen. What I like particularly so much, Andrea, and what I find useful about your book is how specific you are. I think a lot of adult and pet owners and parents have a general idea of what a child can do, you know, what the chores, but not how to do it. And this was my experience when I, you know, after begging for that beagle, I got it. And I had read a book about a beagle and, you know, my parents told me about, you know, okay, well, it's going to be your job to feed and walk.
Yeah.
But the reality was we were clueless because we didn't know specifically what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
And I find your book goes through those specifics, exactly what to say to the kids. You know, what are the details that we don't always think about?
Thank you. Yes, well, I did try to do that. You know, I am the mother of, she's a 9-year-old now, and she has, you know, lots of friends. And I spent a lot of time actually picking their brains as to what they thought was involved with caring for a dog. And that's what helped me to write the book, really, because what children think is involved with caring for a dog is completely different to the reality of it. And they get their experience and their knowledge quite often from cartoon programs such as, you know, they'll watch Scooby-Doo or something like that, and they think that that's, you know, what caring for a dog is about, you know, and actually they don't have to take care of the dog because the dog's going to really take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the reality is very different, and I hope that I have managed to sort of lead parents step by step as to what is involved from, you know, from the feeding to the grooming to the walking to the training. And I've tried to sort of, there's a little question and answer panel on most of the pages where, you know, it answers some of the more common queries and also tries to give the parents the words to explain it to the children, because that's important, I think. You know, we can understand ourselves as to what is involved, but explaining it to the child is a completely different thing. For example, you know, you can say to a child, stop walking around and carrying the dog, but they don't understand really because they think the dog is, well, they often think they're more like toys than real creatures.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
but
they do.
To actually explain to the dog that the dog feels very vulnerable and it's quite frightening for them to be carried around because they feel like they don't have the use of their legs and it makes them feel as if they could be, you know, attacked by something. So that kind of thing can make them feel, they will understand that much more if you can try and talk to them, make them understand how the dog is feeling when they're doing something specifically, rather than just say, you know, stop doing that. You need to explain to them why and how it's affecting the dog. It's very important that they start to learn to recognize the dog's body language so that they can understand, you know, the way the dog is trying to explain to them how it's feeling.
When you were, you mentioned this a moment ago, but when you were writing the book, you say you asked your daughter and her friends for ideas on what's involved in looking after a dog. Sometimes these ideas were very funny. Can you give some examples of that?
Oh, yes. I had lots of funny ideas, lots of strange ideas that they came up with. You know, I'd say to one of them, you know, what would be your ideal dog? What would you like to do with your dog? And I'm thinking that they'd say something like, you know, oh, well, I'm really looking forward to, you know, taking them for walks and giving them a cuddle. But no, they had some wild ideas. You know, they would say things like, oh, well, I want my dog to be able to do, you know, cartwheels and roller skating.
Oh, no.
And things like that, which again harks back to them having seen cartoons of dogs doing this kind of thing. So, or they want one to dance, like the one in the Garfield movie, and there were all kinds of very strange ideas that they had. But also they do equate looking after the dog to how they would, what would make them feel happy. So I would say to them, what would make your dog feel happy? And they would say, oh, I think eating a cookie or some chocolate, mm-hmm. which makes sense to them. But, obviously, chocolate in particular can be dangerous to dogs. It contains that chemical that can be quite dangerous to them, quite toxic to some dogs. They can have quite a toxic reaction. So, what children think makes them happy, that will not necessarily be good for the dog. So I find it very helpful to talk to the children and find out what exactly, what they thought about this, what would make their dogs happy.
Yeah, and, grounding them in the reality of, what they expect and then what they really are going to be able to expect once they get that dog, I suppose, would be very, very important. And, again, something I think we don't often think about doing.
No, exactly. Our expectations, or a child's expectations of what a dog can do and what they can do with the dog, can be completely different. So then again, it all comes down to that research before you start and, doing your homework and talking it all through so that everybody knows what to expect.
Yes. And I also do like the feature of your little question and answer panel. And that, again, is brilliant. Because a lot of times the kids come up with these questions and parents don't always exactly know, because maybe if they haven't done all the research. And I wanted to ask, what is maybe another one of the common questions, maybe amusing or embarrassing, that children often ask? And how do you suggest a parent answer? Is there one that pops to your mind, especially?
Oh, there are quite a few that pop to mind. But they want to know things. Let me see. I think what was one of the most common ones that children wanted to know was they want to know things like, why does my dog always wee on posts? Which is a very common question. It's because it's a behaviour pattern that's completely alien to a child. They don't know why they would do such a thing. They don't realize that a dog is marking his territory through the urine and is overmarking other dog scent trails. So I suggest answering this by saying he does it because he's marking his territory. He's leaving a calling card to tell other dogs who he is, that he's a boy and that he lives in this area, and that they usually point out that they usually sniff the post first. And that gives the dog a lot of information about what other dogs have been around. So they're getting a lot of information from it. So, why does my dog always wee on posters? Was one that was very, very popular. Another strange question was, why does my dog smell other dogs' bottoms?
Yes.
It's another behavior pattern that's very, very alien to children. Of course, the real reason is that, the olfactory system of the dogs is how, that's a primary means of investigation. They learn many things from sniffing and greeting another dog, and they can tell a lot about the other dog's health and if they're sexually healthy, and they're getting a lot of information. And so, our dog's anal glands are also located there and carry the dog's individual scent. But all that, you couldn't really explain that to a child. So it's probably just better to say sniffing is a dog's way of saying hello and finding out about another dog. And there's more to it than just sniffing. And you can teach a child to observe, how dogs greet each other, how they bump into each other first. And they do that because they're trying to find out who's the biggest dog and who's going to be the boss, who's going to be the dominant dog. So, they were a couple of interesting questions, I think, that children want to know.
Actually, I think a lot of adults are not always quite so sure about that behavior, and they wonder what's going on, and they're uncomfortable with it also.
Exactly. I mean, I've always said, I'm not actually a canine behaviorist. I'm very much a journalist that specializes in, you know, in pet care. But I work with a lot of behaviorists, and a lot of behaviorists helped me with the book. And I got some vets to help me as well. So these are questions that, you know, they'd obviously been asked about as well. So, yes, it's definitely something that adults could do with some information as well, which I hope is what the book helps to explain too, so that it equips parents and adults and carers to explain to children just what, you know, what their dogs are doing and why they're doing it.
I kind of liked it because, you know, I don't have a dog currently, and I'm not a parent, but I liked the information. I liked those answers. I learned a lot myself.
Thank you. That's great.
I want to go back a little bit to the idea of the issue of walking the dog. And for anyone who wants to see some photographs as we are speaking on my website, wildaboutpets.net. We do have some pictures. And again, if you're on TalkZone, you can just click the purple Look While You Listen button if you've just joined us. And we have pictures starting with number 9. It's kind of the issue of walking the dog. And I especially wanted to kind of talk about this and some of the importance and some of your discussion about this, Andrea, because I know when I had my Beagle, I had a miserable time with it. And I wanted to take care of that dog. I had promised my folks, and I wanted to, you know, fulfill that. But I found that not really knowing what I was doing, walking Barney, my Beagle, was unpleasant. You know, he would dash ahead of me. He'd pull very hard, as you kind of mentioned.
Yeah.
And I was fearful I was going to be pulled over, and it wasn't fun. And I actually stopped wanting to do it just because it became such an unpleasant experience for me, even though my heart was in the right place.
Mm. I think it's common, and it's sad, really, because, you know, it's not good for the dog and it's not good for the child, but it is quite a common experience. And I think it is important to start training a puppy really from the very, very early stages. There are things that they can do from day one. You don't have to wait until they're a few months old. It's important to start the training very early so that they learn to come when they're called, to walk, to heel, you know, on and off the lead, to do things like to sit, to stay, to learn to wait and to go into the down position, all these kind of basic training things. I would suggest that some of it can be done at home really easily. I've covered some of these basics in my book, Learning How to Walk the Dog. Mm-hmm. I think the best thing to do is to actually start indoors, you know, begin in a quiet room where there are no distractions. And then I always think that I think everybody in the family should have a treat bag with them, you know, a waste bag or a treat pot or something that they've got some treats in that they can give to the dog readily. So, and your child should be no exception. So they should have their waste bag on with their treats in. And, you know, you ask the child to put the collar and lead on the puppy. Ask them to put the puppy into a sit first if they've learned to do the sit, which is a very easy training skill to learn to do the sit. So put the dog into a sit first and try to encourage the child to always speak to the dog in a calm, reassuring way. And then just to slip the lead onto the collar and then to start to walk along and offer them a treat and start to walk along and say the word heel all the time as you do so and give lots of, you know, verbal encouragement and then finish the session with a treat and lots of stroking. Do these little mini training sessions. You don't have to do, you know, half-hour training sessions. Mini training sessions are just as important, I think. But it is important to practice. Practice makes perfect, as with anything. And also to then look at, you know, going to a puppy socialization class and then eventually signing up for some obedience classes, because they are great fun for the whole family. They really are. You know, there can be a big family event taking your dog along to dog training. And it's just invaluable experience. Your dog can learn to interact with other dogs and to ignore the sort of stimulus of having other dogs and noises and sounds around them, and to learn to you know, be obedient, and an obedient dog, one that does as it's told, in any environment. It's just a joy to have around, and will give your child a lot of confidence, and they'll have a lot of fun, and hopefully won't experience, you know, the sort of heartache that you did with Barney when you were a child.
And there is a great description and photographs of exactly what is a good, easy way to teach your child, to teach the dog to sit. So again, if anyone, you know, checks out the book, then you can see that. We are going to take a break right now. Please stay tuned. We'll be back right after this.